Brother Bustard has been with us the last 3 years. This is his fourth year here. We're just thrilled that he's here. He makes his residence in Alexandria, Louisiana, but he's from Canada. And you probably detected that Canadian accent. He's been down there among all those southern people, and he hasn't lost it. But I tell you, he has the anointing of God upon him. He blessed us last evening. And we want him to come at this time and take his liberty and bring us the word of the Lord and minister to us.
Amen. All of God's people said amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We were tentatively talking of next year, if the Lord tarries, and if he doesn't, you won't need me. And by the way, you'll never catch me going down through the streets of glory calling people out. That new body you're going to have will be sickness resistant. But as we were just tentatively talking about it and working with the Spanish congregation as well as the English speaking, I said, well, maybe we'll have to come in a night early and I'll bring my wife in because I see that you have a Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in town and I'd love to do a double date with Brother and Sister Grant and have a little spam at Ruth's Chris and bring my wife with me, and then we can do the fish later on in the week. That's just the suggestion. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I am so excited because I get to be here. I'm excited because I get to leave. Because tomorrow morning I'm going home and I get to be home till Saturday. Because I've been gone since Thursday. And then, a week from tonight, I'll fly back home from Oklahoma. And then Tuesday morning, my family and I will fly to Eastern Canada to be together for 8 days. Myself, my wife, and the two girls. And we will have our family reunion, a little lobster, and a little raspberry cordial on Prince Edward Island. You know what I'm talking about. I don't have to explain anything else. So I'm very excited. Praise the name of the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse number 1, and I'm going to give you time to find that passage. To all of our visitors, would you be so kind just to raise your hand if you're visiting with us today and just hold it up for 1 second while we swivel our heads left and right to find where you're at. We're going to give you a big hand because you showed up. You didn't have to. You had places to go. You had things to do. But with your busy schedule, you have blessed us this Lord's Day by coming to Calvary Gospel Church. And we want this service to be a gift to you. We'll be back here at 6 p.m. We'd love to have you come back. As a matter of fact, I know a little mort goes a long way. But since I don't have a long-winded anointing on me this weekend, why don't you try to make plans to come back and join us in the evening service, a lot of the members? Let's just have a camp meeting right here. Let's just pack it out because you want to come back. Because you want to come back because you want to see someone like William who came in here with severe pain in his back. Medical procedure after medical procedure. God healed him. His face lit up as soon as it happened. We had people lined up here with cancer, and they were presently in pain from the cancer. They were touched last night. We had people receive the Holy Ghost last night. Now, come on. There's nothing you could plan this evening that would outdo this. So why not come back at 6 p.m. and just join us for one big crescendo. What do you say? Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Lord Jesus, may this be Christ-centered in word and in deed, in Jesus' name. Lay your Bible down and give the Lord a big hand clap in the house. Are you going to help me just for a few moments with a mighty shout this morning?
Oh, listen to that. Listen to that. If you keep shouting like that, I think I'll only preach 15 minutes. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. It's erupting here today. Praise the name of the Lord. You may be seated. I am what you call a pragmatic prophet. That's not an oxymoron. I'll explain. Before we ministered in the prophetic last night, and God let us be a conduit just for a few moments, right before I came in here, I put these suit pants on one leg at a time. I'm good in the spirit, if he lets me be. But I can only do what he lets me do. But in the natural, I'm realistic. I take calculated steps. My frugality has even increased. Because I don't have an eternal mindset. At the end of the day, I want my wife and I to be able to enjoy, if the Lord tarries, our golden years. As a matter of fact, I told her, I want us to sit on the front porch of a cabin in Canada on the ocean or a lake. Not permanently, just in the summertime. We might be two whizzled prunes, but I want us to sit holding hands and just thank God for the good old days where we traveled and traveled and traveled and traveled. So I'm frugal. As a matter of fact, just maybe a little more on the monitors here. Something happened into my throat after I left last night, and I woke up with quite a cough, so I'm acclimating to your atmosphere. There we go. Thank you so much. My wife has even become the queen of couponing. Yeah. Matter of fact, I'm going to try to find a Sunday Milwaukee paper. Matter of fact, if you want to bless me and you're going to be back here tonight, if you can get me the Sunday Milwaukee paper, that baby is filled with coupons. I'll pack it in the suitcase, I promise you, and take it home. Sunday is the paper. She told me that. And you'll have more coupons, I promise you, than our little Alexandria town talk. I try to be a good steward and make wise investments. I don't have money to throw away. I don't have money to waste. I don't have money to burn. Matter of fact, I might as well tell you, I have limited funds, and I just wish the government would get their hand out of my pocket. Come on, you feel the same as I do. Give it another hand clap. If you were to ask my accountant, who is actually one of our ministers, Aubrey Giroux, about my being fastidious with finances, he'll tell you. He has probably 1,200 to 1,400 clients. He told me that he may have another four or five like me. I'm not OCD. But I do amortize my mortgage every month when I make the payment. I will not send the files to Aubrey Giroux for the ministry taxes until they balance to the penny. One penny cannot be out of place. My financial planner who lives in Dallas, who tends over my very limited portfolio, will tell you the same thing. So I would just like to have some idea of the risk involved if I'm going to give up some hard-earned money, because I've had some lessons in life. Really not so much because of greed. I have just had opportunities through friends and acquaintances to make investments. And they haven't turned out so well. I'm not Warren Buffett. I'd be better trying to do what Dave Ramsey does. Just stay out of debt. Now, for the next 10 minutes, I want to just tell you, you're not going to hear deep preaching. My synapses do not fire in my brain more rapidly than yours, and my neurons do not run any deeper. I get shallow interpretations. So let's get into it. I have learned that faith and logic really don't walk hand in hand. Matter of fact, a good minister friend of mine says he spells faith R-I-S-K. You can't really avoid a measure of risk when you're taking a step of faith. So the writer here says, take your bread. That implies what you have earned. Not inherited. You've worked the live long day. That's why I try not to take advantage of your time. Because I know that you've got a work week behind you. In just a few mornings, you've got a few hours, you've got to do it all over again tomorrow morning. Take your hard-earned bread, and it didn't suggest just dropping it into a pond. Because he said, waters. And waters gives me liberty to expand. It's not just a river, rill, brook, stream. No, when it says waters, it could literally be the oceans. Take my hard-earned bread, go to Land's End, which is the water's edge, which is where there is an element that is much different than where I live, because I'm a landlubber, a land dweller, Homo sapien. I don't do well very long in water. So I'm approaching something that is not in my element. And I am to, with effort, cast my bread upon the waters. So, what's the point? Wouldn't there have to be a purpose? There would have to be just a little. Man, you are the quietest I've ever heard you. You're wondering where I'm going with this. And look at the clock. I've only got so much time. Not because of him. Because of what I've already told you. And we're going to minister here to visitors. I don't know if you're in awe or you've already figured this out. Maybe somebody just preached on this last Sunday. It just doesn't make any sense. Because if it was putting seed into the ground, I don't have a problem with that. As a matter of fact, in just a few weeks, we hope we're going to have some organic tomatoes. Tomatoes, doesn't matter. First Lady, you're not the only one, baby. My wife, First Lady of our home and ministry, went out into our backyard and planted some tomato plants. And she wanted me to build her that 2x10 box for them, which I wanted to do because it gave me an excuse to get the next tool that I've been wanting. Because I said, let's negotiate, honey. I'll build that box for you. But I said, sweetheart, I don't feel like drilling holes and sinking screws. And I don't feel like hammering spikes. I've got the brad nailer, the finished nailer. Of course, I've had the compressor, but I've had my eye on that Porter cable framing nailer. She said, I don't care. She never even asked me the price of it. It didn't come very cheap. But let me tell you, when I cranked the PSI up on that Porter cable compressor, one push of the button, boom! Man, I could have built her more. You sure we don't need more? I understand the scripture, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it will abide alone. That's no problem, because there's going to be a consequence to it, a good one, a result, because you're sowing and then you're going to reap. But casting bread into water, the two are not friendly with each other. Bread does not have a chance of surviving any amount of time in water. Just consider the water. You know that oil in the Gulf? You heard anything about that? Yeah. If we can just keep it from the shores, the way that God made the ocean, it's more powerful than the crude. I'm not a marine biologist. Neither did I sleep in a Holiday Inn Express last night. But I know what I'm talking about. There is a type of bacteria in that water that has the ability to take care of the crude that's coming from that well a mile below the surface of the ocean. Water is powerful. And if I take my hard-earned bread and cast it into the water, you're probably going to stand there and say, "What are you doing? Are you feeding the ocean?" Not only is water powerful and not friendly to the bread, what about marine life that might be living in the water? You don't believe me? Go to a catfish pond. Don't go and buy all this expensive food. Just take you, take you some croutons, whatever. Drop them in that water. Whew, that water's going to boil with catfish. Boy, that seems to be an exercise in futility. It just seems to be nonsensical to take bread and cast it into the water. Now that I laid the foundation for about 8 minutes, let me preach. You see, the cross reference here is really only found in one other passage, and that is in Isaiah, where you're supposed to take your bread, bring up the sound just a little bit, take your bread and give it to the poor. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to preach to you for about 5 to 8 minutes. We do not have the luxury, as the Church of the Living God, getting so wrapped up in current news and the status of the Dow Jones and the NASDAQ and the Standard & Poor's and the economy in general and say, as a church, we need to back off. Absolutely not. We will do our people a great injustice if in this low economic climate we back away from teaching on tithing and giving and having revival and sending missionaries to the four corners of the world. I know in the natural it does not make sense, but there is a commandment in Scripture that we who are spiritual, we who are in the world but not of the world, we who think with a different mindset because we have a God who is in absolute and total control of the entire universe, we are supposed to go to land's end, to the water's edge, and look at that element that is not even friendly to us and take our bread and cast it upon the water. Just go ahead and just give it. I know the enemy He's going to tell you it doesn't make any sense, but just go ahead and cast your bread upon the water. Give and give and give and pray and pray and preach and just have revival and declare revival. Ladies and gentlemen, we do not have time for anything but revival, and we need revival more even in Madison, Wisconsin than we've ever needed it. And I know that it seems like you're on the side of a highway here in the capital of Wisconsin, and there is a liberal element throughout your state, and all you're doing is casting bread in the water, and it appears to be disintegrating. Your words do not seem to be having any effect. You have church service after church service, and you've got a great crowd here, but as far as in comparison to the population of your state and your city, you're really hardly even putting a dent in it. But the Bible said, just cast your bread upon the water. It really doesn't make much sense to have a missionary on a Tuesday night and to give what few dollars you're able to give. But that's not what the Bible says. Don't think with logical thinking. Just go ahead and cast your bread upon the water. Send it to Peru. Send it to Panama. Send it to Paraguay. Send it to Africa. Just cast your bread upon the water. Would you give them a hand clap tonight? Would you give them some praise? It just seems to be so ineffective. It just does not seem to be bringing anything good or having any kind of an impact. You cast it and it's gone. But just because it's out of sight does not mean it's out of existence, because there is a God who's bigger than the seven seas. There is a God who's more powerful than the ocean that you just cast your bread into. He knows where every fragment of bread is on every wave, in every tributary and estuary. He has tracked every penny and every praise you have ever offered him. Pastor Grant and I were talking this morning on the way to church service how that we're in a great business working for God, and at the end of the day, he just takes care of us. 29 years ago, she and I got married. 29 years of marriage this November, 29 years of ministry. When we hooked up, I mean, all of our finances together were $75 a week. But we just have cast our bread upon the water. 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 28 year, going on the 29th year, we have done it literally around the world. And guess what? God has a way of marking every particle of bread. And then, after you do it, don't get discouraged and go home and say, we're not having an effect. Whatever your age is now, with all that you've been through and trying to go to the next level and build a new campus, you are not just to look at the obvious and say, well, we're doing pretty good, but you know what? We're really not having a big impact. What you're supposed to do is just stand at the land's end and the water's edge. Because after many days, praise his holy name. Blessed be his holy name. If it was a matter of a moment, the bread may survive that moment. But after many days, it's just not going to happen. Oh, it will happen if there's a God who has the intention of keeping your bread together and then has the intention on bringing it back to you after many days. You're going to find it. It might not happen overnight. And God has not called you to have an overnight success in Madison, Wisconsin. God has not called you to be, you know, a one-hit wonder, fly by night, you know, kind of just boom and you're here and then you're gone. No, you're going to have perpetual growth. It might be spread out over a few years, but the promise is, after several days, after many days, if you will stand in faith and just keep your eyes on the ocean, don't you let the devil tell you it's an exercise in futility. You gave it, now it's gone. You might as well go home. Some of you may have paid your tithe and given a missions offering 20 years ago, and you may not have seen the harvest from that. It might be going to come in 2010 instead of 1990. This could be your year. Stand at the water's edge, because the promise is, after many days, you're going to find it. I'm prophesying. If you'll keep your eyes on the sea, one of these days, a wave is coming, laden down with your bread. Give the Lord a hand clap tonight. Musicians, please. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Musicians, would you please join me? Hallelujah. Dear friend of mine, pastors in Mississippi, I was at his church. I go every year, but I was at his church 3 or 4 years ago. Matter of fact, I'm going to call and get them to go through the archives and find the prophecy. I'm of the opinion that prophecy should be transcribed, documented. Amen?
Yes.
If you prophesy, you should be judged. Well, there's no way to judge it if you forget it. You You don't know if you got a prophet with you or not, if you're not going to judge it. When I was at their assembly just a few years ago, the spirit of prophecy came upon me, and I prophesied that this church will give $1 million to missions. My very church, Brother Grant, 2 weeks ago, was having just their local church missions night. And the pastor was hoping, I think he told me, for $130,000. Instead, either $1.1 or $1.2 million. Man, we really are a little weird, aren't we? We're just a tad different, aren't we? We're homesick for a place we've never yet been to. We're in love with someone we've never seen. We act like we don't have a problem when we've been assailed on every side. And in a down economy, we just keep on giving and giving and giving and giving our praise and our tithing. Ladies and gentlemen, that bread that you've been casting on the waters here in Madison has fragmented. It has probably gone down streams through every street of Madison. Why, part of that bread has probably ended up right on the steps of the Capitol, right here in Madison. Some of the fragments have probably found their way through the university. Some fragments have gone down to the lower income section of your city. Some fragments have found their way where women walk the street at night. Men are trapped in alternative lifestyles. And both men and women pump chemicals into their veins to try to escape reality. Why, some of that bread has even gone to the upper echelon of your society. Because we not only have the down and out, we have the up and out. I'm prophesying to you on this Sunday morning that the best is yet to come. It didn't seem reasonable. There was no logic in it, but you did something that seemed really crazy. You went down and just cast your bread upon the water. And guess what? Wave after wave, they're going to keep on coming. Just like William did last night. Just like others did last night. 3 or 4 cancer patients right here last night. The Spanish church growing and burgeoning. Your youth department expanding exponentially. Why, God has given a great word of prophecy, a great promise from Ecclesiastes 11:1 to Calvary Gospel Church of Madison, Wisconsin. It's coming back. Why some fragments of your bread have gone to Africa in your missions giving. Some have gone throughout Asia, Central America, South America, all through the Pacific Rim. Through the years, a lot of bread has been cast out of this place. But after many days, you shall find it. Would you stand all over the house? Would you lift them up? Lift them up in worship just a little bit before we begin to minister to the needs of people.